listen.
My life.
In every verse, I got rhymes.
What's up, what's up? It's your boy AT and your boy AE coming to you live and direct with another episode of Bars, Rhymes, and Life, where we break down the bars, relate to the rhymes, so we can shed light on our lives.
Just listen.
Feel the beat drop.
What's up, it's your boy AT coming to you live and direct with another episode of Bars, Rhymes, and Life. This week's track, XXXTentacion, Riot. Unbelievable track. I really think the production is unbelievable. Obviously, it's quite a meaningful track and it's got a deep message towards it with regards to a multitude of things. Well, two sides of a coin in some respects. But yeah, the beat is just different. It's different. And his aggressive, coarse bars and his nature comes across really well on this production. It really does. The producer's Luke White. So shout out Luke White, because the producer's absolutely sick on this one. An interesting one. Obviously taken away from us too soon. I don't know if you remember, I've done another track with X. I can't remember the name of the track, but he is in the catalogue. And I remember just saying that initially wasn't necessarily the biggest fan when he came on the scene, but it's because I didn't give him a chance. It's because I didn't give him a chance and I didn't have that kind of objectivity that I do have now. The video is a really interesting video. I wish I could do a Bars, Rhymes, and Life episode on the actual video itself, but I just wanted to put a little caveat that YouTube puts a kind of block on it. It lets you unblock it to watch the video, but just for anyone that, if you are potentially suffering with thoughts of suicide, it comes with that caveat. The particular, I don't want anyone to, sometimes I think people listen to Bars, Rhymes, and Life episode and they think, let me go check that tune out, and they go on YouTube and it's not necessarily ideal without giving this kind of preface on the context of what I'm talking about. Let's kick in. You ever seen an N-word hung with a gold chain? I'd rather sing about the same things that we claim, such as bashful, but N-words like a task force, mobbing on the streets and robbing stores in ski masks, bruh. N-words ask for peace in a riot, then bring violence.
With a gold chain, I'd rather sing about the same things that we claim. Such as bashful, but niggas like a task force, mobbing on the streets and robbing swords and ski masks, bro. Niggas ask for peace in the riot to bring violence.
Two things, absolute bars nonetheless. I told you about his flow and his vocals on this just complement and match the production in a way that's very difficult to explain. It's very intangible to me, but I love it. I've listened to this song a lot of times, and weirdly enough, it's a song that even when it pops up, I don't want to switch it off. I don't want to switch it off because it's just, they just match each other so well. So many of us reach for success. And then when we reach for success, we want to display that success. So many of us want to do that. And I can see it from a point of view. I respect it. Sometimes I think I can gravitate towards those feelings and even behave in those ways too. When you make a lot of money, you want to buy things, you want to show that you got a lot of money. I kind of get it. But the other side says, and especially for me with regards to logic, is why buy something when you live in a situation or an environment that you know it puts a target on you. It puts a target on you. If you're the guy walking around with a big gold chain or the diamond encrusted gold chain with a Cuban links in a particular dangerous area, ain't you inviting your own death in some respects? And look, it's easy for me to say. It's so easy for me to say. But honestly, you do think about it. Why do you do it? Why do you feel the need to have to display it? And sometimes I go back and think to myself, there must be something along the way for a particular subset of wealthy people, not all, that say to themselves, I didn't have that when I was on the come up. I didn't have respect. So those kids didn't respect me. Those boys didn't respect me. Those girls didn't respect me. So now I've made money. This chain, this jewelry, this unbelievably wickedly flash car, this whatever you want to call it, gives me the attention that I missed on the come up. Those girls that never paid attention to me at school, well, those type of girls are going to pay attention to me now because I come from money. But I don't think that is true. I don't think that is true. I think you're entitled to spend your money on really nice things, luxurious things, and expensive things, provided that they add to your character or display something that you genuinely have a passion and love about. And it doesn't mean like, oh, you buy a brand new car, so you must love cars. I don't mean it like that. But if you buy something with thought, prime example, I always think Range Rovers. Whenever I see a man with Range Rovers, I just think, did you buy that because that's what all the ballers buy, all the footballers drive them? And do you buy it because it's just got the sake of brand association with it? Or did you buy it because there's something about that car that you genuinely, genuinely love? Like, I don't rate Range Rovers. They're just cardboard boxes in terms of design. When you draw them, you just draw a rectangle and put four wheels on it. Four wheels in it if you can draw 3D. I can't draw 3D. I can only draw 2D. So you draw two wheels in it. And there's a Range. There's nothing amazing about its design. Same goes for the Minis. Everyone hypes Minis like they're so sick. And I'm like, they're classics. I get it. But they're just, from a design point of view, I just don't see the effort. I'm like, where's the effort? I don't get it. And yet you'll buy it, and then you'll get it stolen, and then you'll create trauma on yourself. You never know. You, in certain areas of the world, you'll buy it and you'll get killed for it. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Mobbing on the streets and robbing stores in ski masks, bruh. N-words ask for peace in a riot, then bring violence. So the crux of the song is that, yes, police brutality in the US, especially against African Americans, is a problem. Absolutely, it is a problem. But how does smashing up the rest of your town solve it? How does smashing up your corner shop solve it? That's the root of what X is trying to talk to us here. Facts. Because it's a game of cat and mouse and you go and bleed silent. What's the justice in saying fuck it and grab the pump? Then kill a woman with many children makes you a chump. Look in all the stores, you reckon. N-word, I reckon. Think about people who own it. About a second. I know you got your problems, but brother, they got theirs. This is not a gang. Quit violence and grow a pair. Cause it's a game of cat and mouse and you gon' bleed silent. What's the justice in saying fuck it and grab the pump? The killer woman with many children makes you a chump. Look in all the stores, you reckon, nigga, I reckon. Think about the people who own it for about a second. I know you got your problem, but brother, they got theirs. This is not a gang, quit violence and grow a pair. Straight up bars. Straight up bars. It's so true. The only thing I would give someone, a community or a gang or anyone, some rationale and say, all right, what they did has some sense of logic to it, is if you went and smashed up the police department in that particular area, state or town. So the guy who's unnecessarily killed a member of your community, yeah, you went there and you smashed up their whole police station. I don't know what word to use. Police station, police base or whatever. Because ultimately they are the cause, right? They're the root cause of what's gone on. And you're saying, while I don't condone it, I could accept that logic. But you don't do that. They don't do that. What you do is go and smash up the whole town. So you smash up the guy's business who's seen your mom and her kids and then her kids and then her kids grow up across a number of decades in that community. And because you're like, oh, I feel angry. Yeah, you know what? Let me go smash his shop up. How does that make any sense? It doesn't. But you don't go to the police force and go and smash the police force up. Why? Because you know you're going to get dealt with. So it's crazy when you're out of control emotionally, how so many people around you are willing and ready to be so opportunistic and use the pain that you might be suffering or enduring for their own stupid benefits. And yeah, people die in the crossfires. That's the worst thing. So the people that you're almost fighting for die in the crossfires. And we all know what that causes. If you kill a mother who has children, well, guess what? You've ruined those children's lives. Or I take that back. You've really given them a hard start in life, or you've given it a very difficult chance of them succeeding in life because they've got to deal with not having someone who they care about in their lives. And just to compound the point, it's right. It's not a gang. It's not, if you want to consider the police force a gang, then yeah, you go out and you attack them. You don't go out and smash everyone else up. It just doesn't make any sense. Quit the violence, grow a pair. It's one of the hardest things to do. It's one of the hardest things to do, but also it's one of the most coldest, and actually, that's when you know someone's a real G. I don't know if you remember in The Dark Knight, the guy who played Debo, he just takes the key away from that little scowly man who's like, oh, we got to kill all the criminals because we ain't done nothing wrong with our lives. Let's blow up that other boat. And he just walks up to him and he looks to him and just goes, give me that.
140 against 396.4.
Gives it that's game, when you don't have to raise your fists or get involved in anything or use a knife or use it. You just know, like, you look at the person in the eye and you understand that I have to respect this individual because he most likely will fuck me up. Bars. But sure, you'd rather hear me say fuck the black prejudiced, let's murder different races, grow hatred and form irrelevant views and etc. Knives thrown, damage them, lives blown, oblivion, all cold, oblivious. You'd rather hear me say, fuck the black president, let's murder different races, throw hatred and form irrelevant views and etc. Knives thrown, damage them, lives blown, oblivion, all cold, oblivious. Obviously, it's just reiterating on many of the points that I said in the last set of bars, but I just wanted to say, I love how he's used and form irrelevant views and etc. Knives thrown, damage them, lives blown. It's so visual. It's so visual in the sense that you've formed a irrelevant view and etc. So he's talked about it psychologically, a view and the crap that comes on top of with that view. And then a knife is thrown, the damage it causes, lives blown, oblivion, or cold, oblivious. It's weird because those words shouldn't rhyme so well with the way that he explains them, and it shouldn't make sense, but it makes perfect sense. You read that straight, it looks like a really odd almost illiterate sentence. That's what it reads like, but it's not at all. You literally follow it. One from the other, from the other, from the other, from the other. And it's like, fuck, yeah, that's exactly what's happened. Mad. Absolute madness from X there. I could preach the peace, but say fuck it and preach the murder, because this ain't fucking life that we're living. Go ahead and grab the extension. Give death another one, uncle, cousin, brother, son. Glory to all the chosen ones that will rid you of your ignorance. But in a sense, innocent will soon behold the ignorance. Blasphemous killing of our own murdering black. Preach the peace, but say fuck it and preach the murder, cause this ain't fucking life that we live in. Go ahead and grab the extension, get up another one, uncle, cousin, brother, send glory to all the chosen ones that will rid you of innocence. But in a sense, innocent will soon behold the ignorance. Blasphemous, killing our own, murdering black. I think X is just trying to be as objective as he possibly can, which is almost saying, I could go down the MLK route. I could say, like, you know, peaceful protests. But I don't particularly agree with that either. I'm just saying, don't smash up our own. Don't smash up your own hometown. While it's an absolute tragedy and it's completely unfair, the murder of some of these individuals, it's not right. But then go for the people that caused it. Don't go for your own. Why go for your own? And I love it. I love it when he says, glory to all the chosen ones that will rid you of your ignorance. It's almost like glory to all the real ones out there that will hopefully eventually make you see sense of your life. But in a sense, innocence will soon behold the ignorance, because he's actually explained that as much as I want to give glory to those people, they don't exist because the cycle keeps going on and on and on. Unfair, biased treatment of an ethnic minority murdered. Mostly, especially in the examples that I mentioned in the video, completely unfairly, people react, respond by killing and hurting their own, and then the young, who the innocents are, suffered by it, just do it all over again. Murdering black. It goes back to the park, innit? Thug life. The hate you give little infants fucks everybody. The hate you give little infants fucks everybody. Absolutely love this track. Hope you give it a chance if you haven't listened to it, and I hope it has a little bit more gravitas to it and a lot more meaning after listening to the track too. Nothing but love to X and all of his fans. RIP X. I hope you are safe outside the physical realm and just living your version. Your soul is at peace and just living the best version of itself that's possible. Nothing but love to all the BRL listeners out there. One.